better off.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. This is episode 180 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-hosts, Linda Surovich. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Maggie Wiggin. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Allison.
So the probably the most pressing Mets news, or kind of the most prominent Mets news since we last recorded the three of us or talked about the Mets at all, was that the Mets have officially hired David Stearns as president of baseball operations. Obviously, we've talked about this on the show before. This has been kind of rumored, or the Mets have been connected to Stearns for a long time, but nothing was concrete. And then finally, it has come out as of like a week ago that the Mets were hiring Stearns. And I think that he's going to he's going to take control as president of baseball operations in early October. After the regular season is over.
It just seems like a foregone conclusion at this point.
The Mets aren't making the postseason, so we don't have that to worry about.
I'm very, very glad they just knocked that right out of the way. Yeah. I am just pro no drama in as many situations as possible, and this had drama written all over it. And, shut me up. There was no drama. It was fine. I assume the numbers are astronomical, and like, good for him. Good for everyone in that situation. That is a win.
Yeah, it's a 5-year deal for Stearns. And he will be president of baseball operations, but Billy Epler will retain his position as general manager, but he now reports to Stearns. Exactly. This has kind of been a foregone conclusion for a while. Stearns is a New York native who grew up a Mets fan, who worked as a Mets intern, and Omar Minaya wanted to hire him, and the Wilpons were like, no, we can't afford that.
because of course
that's what happened. And yeah, now it's come full circle.
Yes. It's the Mets circle of life.
Yes. You know, it's Stearns is, he's the Brewers have had pretty successful seasons the past few years. And Stearns is one of the more, my understanding from people who know more about this stuff than I do, is that Stearns is one of the more well-respected baseball executives in the game.
How's the Brewers, like, farm system?
I don't actually know where their farm system, like, ranks as far as, like, organizational rankings are concerned.
Because that could use a little help too in development.
Yeah, seriously. Definitely could use some help. Although obviously they did some trades that have bolstered the farm from one of the worst in baseball to sort of just like fine.
The ponies are good.
Yeah, they need development.
Yeah.
Congratulations, ponies. There's a little bit of Mets news to you.
It's true.
Way to go, ponies.
Way to go, Rumble Ponies. We love it. Playoffs?
At least somebody made the playoffs.
Yeah, really.
Our sibling podcast from Complex to Queens can give you more information about that.
Yeah, they're having a good time.
You're here for the yay, Rumble Ponies.
Yay! Go ponies! I don't even know who they're playing.
Me neither. We know that Stearns, with the Brewers, obviously the Brewers, they've been successful. They've averaged, 87 wins a season during Stearns' tenure, which is quite good. But they have operated on a very small budget. They're a small market team. So we don't know how Stearns is going to operate with a Steve Cohen budget, but the prospects of that are certainly enticing, to say the least.
It'll also be interesting to see, like, because he's not a GM anymore, he's a step above that. And so it'll also be interesting to see him kind of apply kind of his all those good skills that he's got going on to you know, a larger organization with, you know, all the way down to the minors and, you know, dealing with a lot of baseball ops stuff that has been in turmoil the last, you know, few months. There were firings and it's been messy. And so someone has to really clean house.
Yeah.
Yeah. He definitely needs to fire whoever that person was who complained to the Post that Justin Verlander was kind of shocked at how bad their analytics were.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, whoever that is needs to go.
I mean, they might. It's possible. It was an anonymous person. We don't know who they were. It's possible they're already gone because Mets have, you know, let go a few of their front office personnel, player development personnel, I think, in the past like few weeks. So they are starting to like turn the page and replace all of the Alderson holdovers with new people. There are still Sandy Alderson holdovers that remain. And I'm not saying that that is necessarily like this horrible thing that needs to be rectified immediately. But I have a feeling that, you know, eventually they will completely clean house. And it will be this new era of Stearns in charge and he will want his own people. Including possibly his own manager, which that's something that's been talked about a little bit that we don't know how that's going to play out. There was, you know, some rumors, some rumblings that if Stearns came to the Mets, that Council would come as well. But that has not, there's been no official rumor to that regard yet. So we'll see. The Mets may need to like make a trade because that's happened before. And obviously, like Buck still has time left on his contract. So it remains to be seen whether they will bring on Council as well and maybe do an amicable parting of ways with Showalter or how that's going to work or if Council's not going to come.
Is he as tired as he has looked at times this season? That will answer the question.
Well, cause... you know how they say, like, the president being president ages you? Being Mets manager ages you, too.
We need those, like, side-by-side photos. We need those side-by-side photos of Buck Showalter like we did, like they did
Terry
with Barack
Collins
Obama.
Turns into Gollum.
I do feel like Buck has looked exactly the same for, like, 30 years, though.
Yeah, I guess if, like, at his level, he's seen it all, so maybe, like, nothing faces him now, but I think we still need a side-by-side.
Like, it's been quite a while since Buck was Orioles manager, and he still looks the same to me. I don't know.
Can we keep him around as, like, Kalina's grandpa? Like, just her Mets grandpa?
I was going to say, I think she keeps him young.
Yeah.
Can we keep him around as, like, I don't know, like a vibes ambassador?
I'm like, okay with that.
I need the
it
vibes.
Seems like playing to his strengths.
Yeah.
Just, like, joining Council in the post-game pressers and, like, you know, just smacking guys on the bum and telling them they're doing a good job. Can he just be that guy? And wearing his custom outfits.
Looking incredibly annoyed when annoying things are happening.
And I guess that's mostly just what a bench coach does. Will he take a demotion?
I mean, I have to say, I would love to be a bench coach.
Me too.
It seems like the perfect job where you just be like, that guy's trouble. Like, yeah.
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 And you like, just get
thanks,
do like dugout
thanks,
banter.
Thanks, man. You're welcome.
You just get to do dugout banter and then you manage the game like once, like twice a season when the manager gets to Austin.
And that's always going to be really fun because you know that there's just going to be a whole pile of BS to deal with from the get-go. I love it.
Like, it's going to be a shit show from the start and you're just adding to it. And
I will be anybody's bench coach anytime.
Yeah, we're open to being hired as bench coaches at all MLB teams.
I think, like, somebody needs to but if we're all rivals, if a team hires each of us, then what do?
I wonder if maybe
have
we
a benches
only...
clearing brawl.
Or should we only operate as a trio? Like a trio.
Yep, sorry.
Of bench coaches.
Well, they had the three-headed stooges as GM that time.
Yeah, well, sorry. You get thing one, thing two, and thing three as your bench coach.
The Mets will be trying something new. I think it could work.
Let's do it. At Mets.
At Mets.
We're available.
What could go wrong?
Oh man, that would be awesome.
A lot of things could go wrong. Let me just tell you.
But if we wouldn't get the blame, the manager would get the blame.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, that's Craig's fault.
Like, oh, I told him I didn't think he should pull Diaz there, but he won't listen to me.
Sadly, no managerial decisions will be being made about Edwin Diaz this season, though.
No. Sad trumpets.
Edwin Diaz will not return this season. It was officially announced today. Obviously, this was probably objectively the correct decision from a medical standpoint. But have they considered my emotions?
Yeah.
And also dollars for dingers.
Yes. Rude, Matt. Rude.
Although, shout out to Kellyanne for
stepping up, yeah.
For making her pledge the inverse, to balance it out.
Kellyanne saved us.
Way
because
to go.
We had a lot of money riding on Diaz coming back this season because a lot of people had extras for him coming back. And then some people had the number of saves he got or the number of strikeouts he got, and all of that's going to be zero now. And it was a huge bummer having to put that in the spreadsheet today. But I did get to put in a yes to Kellyanne's pledge of Edwin Diaz will not return this season. So we did get a small extra from that, but we would have gotten a bigger one if he had come back. Alas.
I know.
But like he'll be ready next year, right out the gate.
They said he'll continue throwing bullpens and he'll still be doing his work,
and he's going to have a full spring training. He's not going to be limited at all at that point. So,
but when Narco comes on, it makes me sad and I don't want to be sad.
But just think when we're so close to having it all the time, to getting recurring Narco.
Only a couple more weeks of no Narco.
We're really close.
And then we get an off season, and then next year we're going to have Narco all the time.
And can somebody, I don't know if you saw Timmy Trumpet tweet his new song with Plaster Jacks, can please somebody make that their walkout? And I think it has to be Lucchese.
It has to be Lucchese because it's called Fuego.
Oh,
Joey Fuego.
Maria. I need to listen to this.
Someone has to
You do,
him.
Maggie. You do need to listen
I
to this.
I know. I feel bad. I have to go. Everyone pause recording now. I'll report out on Twitter later.
Okay.
You can pause. If you're listening to the podcast right now, we give you a get out of jail free card, one pause in order to go listen to Timmy Trumpet and Blaster Jacks' new song.
I will miss the Sopranos theme. I will say that, but
Lucchese does walk out to the Sopranos theme. That's so good, though.
Which is also really good for New York.
But I also think that maybe we shouldn't mess with any of Lucchese's current mojo because he is cooking.
After none of the back end starters being able to figure it out, all of them have figured it out at once after it's too late. Thank you all.
Yes, thank you.
Now, to be fair, Joey Lucchese had a couple really good starts in there before things were completely out of hand. So I'll give him credit.
And he deserved a better fate, I believe.
I think so too. But suddenly we have him pitching well, and also Jose Budo pitching well, and also David Peterson, and also Tyler McGill, all pitching great.
Oh, wait.
So much so that all of them are in the rotation and not.
Wait, we got a McNeil dinger. Does somebody want to tweet out the McNeil live?
Yay!
On the podcast. Time we got a squirrel tweet. Dinger.
This is our first live dinger. Recording. During the fundraiser. So we're updating
24.
Who should we make the tweet?
Oh,
who's number 24?
Yeah, 24 is kind of a rough number.
I only know right, Tino Martinez on the Yankees. That's who I always associate 24
I'm not doing
with.
A Yankee.
I'm sorry. That's who I associate with.
I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, okay. We are going to sound really stupid on this podcast, y'all. Because there is Willie Mays.
Number 24
is in fact retired by the New York Mets.
That's right. That's why I couldn't think of a 24.
That's the one. But yes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, you got
Willie Mays. So I guess fair. The tweet's decided. Yeah, sorry, y'all. That was stupid of us.
I was like, why is that ringing a bell? I was like, oh, must be nothing. But yeah, especially since I was at Old Timers Day when they revealed it.
Yeah, I was there too.
Oops.
Oh, and now, okay, and this, like, on a personal level feels even sillier, is also, like, the last Met to have it was Robinson Cano, and Cano is my son's favorite player, and, like, the jersey that he wears to every game is Robinson Cano, number 24.
Oh, no.
So, my brain is failing on multiple levels right now.
No, see, my brain failed because I thought Cano was 42. Even though
you know that he can't, Linda. But that's not allowed either.
Not allowed by anyone.
We are on point today, y'all.
It's Monday. I had a really Monday, so.
It was so rainy. I feel like that much rain, you just.
I got caught in the downpour driving home, and it wasn't fun.
I had very wet feet for a long time.
Yeah, that's never fun either. Like when you have your windshield wipers on, like the full blast mode so that the car shakes, that's where I was today.
All right, I made the tweet and I updated the sheet.
Yay. How much do we have? Let's do a live update.
Is it
over 5,000?
It is. That put us over $5,000 raised for the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Official announcement live on the pod. I'm gonna add it to the tweet too.
9:00 p.m. on the nose, September 18. $5,000, A+.
Thank you, squirrel. Oh, that's a good picture that you used too. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All
okay.
Right. All right. We're done tweeting while we're recording.
This we got
a little inside baseball there.
Yeah, yeah.
The sausage is made.
Yeah, seriously. All right.
Riveting stuff. We know.
I mean, we can't end our Mets segment on a sad trumpet. So we will note that while Edwin Diaz will not return this season, Luis Guillorme will return.
Yay.
He is back from injury at the expense of Jonathan Araúz, who, while he didn't do much with the bat, although he did give us a dollars for dingers dinger. So cheers to him for that. He was impressive defensively and, you know, filled in admirably. In Guillorme's absence, but I did miss Luis Guillorme. His vibes are excellent, and he's a pleasure to watch play defense, and I think he's already made a good defensive play in this game, if I'm recalling.
No, serious question, because I'm kind of overwatching Luis Guillorme bat. Is he this generation's Ray Ordóñez?
Possibly. I mean, he's like probably... I don't know. Like, it's close. He's probably the best fielder I've ever seen.
He's better with the bat. I mean, it is like anyone who hasn't looked at Ray Ordóñez's numbers in the last 10 years should just go ahead and do that.
Yeah, poor Ray Ordóñez.
They're real bad. It's worse than you remember.
he was always good for one home run a year, and it would always come like the most.
I also feel like Luis Guillorme, his defense is like more broadly impressive, but that like for sheer wow
flashiness.
Factor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Ray played a more crucial position, though.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, Luis Guillorme is only not playing shortstop because Francisco Lindor, like, he can play shortstop.
True.
Right. And play it very well.
Yeah.
But he's only not playing it because Francisco Lindor is the shortstop for the next decade. Yay!
So it's Lindor
8 more years, and yeah. Luis Guillorme is going to get right in there.
Yeah, he just got to wait it out, man.
I'd be
gotta
pretty impressive if Luis Guillorme's career lasts as long as Francisco Lindor's career.
Is Lindor's defense on par with Ray's, or was Ray just unattainable?
I think Ray was better.
Yeah. I think Ray was better.
Not by as much as you think, probably.
Yeah. And I think Lindor just suffers from that effect of making it look easy.
Yeah.
It's, you know, as I call it, the Carlos Beltran factor.
Yeah.
Yes. Where it just, he just gets to everything.
And yeah, he's just so smooth. Yeah.
Throws everything cleanly. And, you know, he just, all of the things. He makes every turn. Like, it's all. He just does all of it very, 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 very well. So, yay.
Yeah.
I really wish that, like, outs above average was around when Ray Ordóñez was playing.
Yeah.
I would love to know.
We were so spoiled. Like, I didn't realize that, like, that wasn't normal because I had just gotten into baseball then, so I feel like I didn't appreciate it as much as I should have. Like, I knew he was really good, but I was just like, oh, that's what major league athletes do. They're all really good. But I didn't realize he was just like that step above everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those tough ones to figure out as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when a kid, you want dingers and you're like, oh, he's not doing that.
Chicks and kids dig dingers.
They do. They do.
The long ball.
I'm sorry, Ray Ordóñez. I've come to appreciate you as an adult.
He's very good, but very good baseball player. We were talking about David Stearns' hiring. Meanwhile, other organizations, it's kind of nice to be in a position, and I say this as the Mets have a terrible record and are not good this year, so, you know, glass houses and all that, but it is really nice to be able to point at other organizations and kind of laugh and have the Mets not quite be the laughing stock, at least as far as like their front office goings on are concerned.
About the evil laugh, but it's just too good.
So we would be remiss if we did not review some of the shenanigans of other organizations within the past week or so. So Chaim Bloom was fired by the Red Sox, which is kind of Mets adjacent in the sense that I seem to remember Mets Twitter, at least the extreme process nerds, extremely wanting the Mets to hire this guy.
Yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, obviously they had a string of very bad hires instead, aka Brody Van Wagenen and then subsequent predators / criminals of other types, DUI guys. But like, so I'm not cheering the Mets hires in comparison, but I hate to break it to you, Mets Twitter process nerds, if maybe they wanted this, but if Chaim Bloom had been hired by the Mets, I will tell you that Jacob DeGrom would have been traded. 100%. Pete Alonso might be being traded now.
Yeah.
If he was still GM today.
No, they would all be traded. They would already have a really good farm system, but they would have nothing else. They would not have Francisco Lindor. They would
I don't think they would have extended Nimmo. No,
they wouldn't have Diaz.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a trade that obviously there's been a lot of hashtag discourse about, and I'm not interested in rehashing any of it.
No.
But it is certainly a trade that Brody Van Wagenen made that not many other GMs would have made. I'll say that. I know some Red Sox fans, both on the internet and in real life, and I think that Red Sox fans are overwhelmingly pretty upset on his behalf about this. And I don't blame them because, you know, he was basically thrown under the bus by John Henry, He did the job that he was hired to do. And aside from maybe the Mookie Betts return not being, you know, what it should have been, and like there was no return that was going to be what it should have been, right?
Yeah, you can't trade. You just cannot get the right return for an MVP. There is no such thing.
No,
there's no such thing. Just like there would be no such package that would be worth Shohei Ohtani. It just doesn't exist. Like, these are generational talents. And so, you know, other than that, like, he bolstered the farm system. He did. Like, they have a very good farm system. And, you know, they haven't had that good of a season this season, partially only because they're in the toughest division in baseball. But they are, you know, like, a solid team that you can see in the future is on the precipice of contending. He did the job he was asked to do and then was fired for it. I understand being somewhat indignant about that. That said, he knew what this job was going in. I find it hard to believe that he didn't ask, or it wasn't discussed during the interview process with ownership, that ownership did not discuss with him, oh, we're going to make you trade Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
So he knew that was the deal. He knew that he was going there to trade a generational talent, and he decided, yeah, that's the job I want. So I mean, it's hard for me to feel that bad.
Yeah, I get, you know, maybe wanting to test yourself and like undertaking a challenge. But at the same time, like you said, it's not like he was blindsided. He knew what he was getting into. He had to have known, you know, the fan base was going to react badly to the team not contending. And at the end of the day, the buck stops with you. It doesn't stop with the owner as much as we'd like it to. The owner's not going anywhere. So, and if you've had multiple down seasons, fans are going to start calling for something to change. And a lot of times that's the manager and the general manager.
And I don't, at this point, I don't know who else is going to want to work for John Henry.
No.
Like, because they seem to just like fire their GMs after a while, no matter what they're doing. Like, rebuild too fast, fired. Rebuild not fast enough, fired. Contend right now, fired. Contend later, fired. Like, it seems like they're just kind of like cycling through for the sake of it.
It's just so weird to think of the Red Sox like that, though. Like, they're the storied. I mean, I remember seeing one tweet saying that, like, this next generation of kids grew up with the Red Sox winning more than the Yankees, where when we were growing up, it was the reverse. But
right.
That's really true now. So now the Red Sox have molded themselves out of that, like, loser, like, you know, the historical loser mentality to being, you know, you always think of them as the class of the NL East, and now they're not that. So now it's like, I don't know, my brain's having a hard... Oh, yeah, AL East. My brain's having a hard time wrapping... Like, they have a historical ballpark. Their tickets are the most expensive in the league, and you're running the team like the Rays? Like, I don't understand.
I mean, literally, they hired the Rays GM.
Yeah.
Literally the Rays.
Yeah, literally the Rays.
You're in a big sports market. I don't understand why that's the direction they took after they were so successful for so long.
I don't know. It's a mystery to me. I don't know what goes on in John Henry's mind. I don't want to know.
Like, you just got tired of winning? I wish I had that problem.
John Henry is becoming a frequent flyer on I took the form of a 45-year-old white man for a reason I can only fail up. He's not quite the most frequent flyer, but he's getting up there. Yeah, so the other side of this segment is the Washington Nationals, a joke of an organization. You know, like, it was really funny because I talked last week in my walk-off win about the interview with Blue during Bark at the Park night, and I was gonna, like, make a really nice tweet about the Nationals and take my hat off to them, because the whole reason I ended up at Bark at the Park night with Blue in the first place was because they comped me tickets to that game because of the rain delay disaster game in May that I attended. That was like the 4-hour rain delay. They didn't say anything to the fans, and then they canceled the game, and then they suspended the game.
Good times.
They, you know, did the right thing by the fans and gave vouchers to a future game for that. And I used my voucher for Bark at the Park, and they were very, and the ticket rep was very kind. And, like, you know, I worked with, because you need special tickets for Bark at the Park. It's not, I couldn't just, like, go online and redeem my voucher because you need it in a certain section and blah, blah, blah. So the ticket rep I worked with was wonderful, and I was going to make a really nice tweet about the Washington Nationals, but it turns out you do not under any circumstances have to hand it to the Washington Nationals ever. Because, as we mentioned on a recent podcast, Steven Strasburg retired or announced that he was intending to retire. And they had this whole press conference plan. They were going to retire his number.
All his family stuff. Was in.
His family just like was the, there.
The biggest layup on the planet.
Easiest, like, just PR win
right,
ever.
Beautiful, fat pitch right down the middle.
And the Nationals.
And then what happened?
Instead of crushing that pitch over the wall like they should have done, they canceled the press conference because they are trying to back out of paying him his remaining money.
Like, can you imagine if the Mets did that to David Wright? Can you imagine?
Oh, I think that they know that Citi Field would have been burned to the ground by the fan base. Like, I think that they know Citi Field would be a pile of ash right now.
True.
Like, they know they would love to have pulled that shit. Lord knows they would have loved to have pulled that shit, but they know that they probably hold their lives pretty dear, the Wilpons. So I think that they understood that they could not have done that.
Yeah.
Imagine having more money than most people ever have in their entire lives and then doing this. Like,
but Nationals fans are not a Pitchfork fan base. In fact, many of them are trying to take the side of the organization on this for some godforsaken reason that I cannot fathom.
There's always the hate your best player segment is there in every fan base, though.
Because he's stealing money, like, from the organization.
Yeah, they're like, oh, he shouldn't get paid. He's pitching.
Yeah.
He should just retire. Goddamn losers. Like, please be grateful.
And like somebody pointed out, he's permanently disabled now because of pitching.
Exactly. Like, God. Yep.
His life is going to be just a career of probably doctor's appointments now.
And that's why I get so mad every time Mets fans are ungrateful for Matt Harvey, because I'm like, he literally sacrificed his career for you.
And his body.
Yeah, to pitch.
His body's not the same.
He was in permanent pain and later ended up with a drug problem. Because he was in pain all the time. Because of you.
Yeah.
Like, he pitched through past what his doctors told him to and ended up with the same injury that Strasburg had that ended his career as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we could all see really good October baseball. Oh, man.
No.
I remember those days.
Somehow through all of this, while all of this was happening. So in addition to this Strasburg debacle, a bunch of the Nationals either like parted ways, fired guys, or like dudes left, like a bunch of their staff turned over, including their like top international scout. So all of that happened too. But then amidst all of this, they extended Mike Rizzo. it's just like unfathomable to me. It's like, oh, our organization is in shambles. Let's extend the GM. The Red Sox GM doing the exact job they hired him to do. You're fired. The Nationals being a goddamn dumpster fire.
Fire.
Extended. What are these guys doing?
Does Mike Rizzo have something on them?
I don't know.
Look, like... I know it's very edgy, but I'm really curious to see what happens with the technique of never making trades or signing players.
Well, that's called the Colorado Rockies.
True.
They are actually a myth. Funny story.
yeah. And like Rizzo's now in his 15th year running the Nationals, right? God,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's we're all old. Rizzo's been running the Nationals for 15 years, guys. And like, so yes, they won a title in 2019, which they hang on to every day. Let me just tell you, when I also called the Nationals ticket office, they answer with, "Welcome to the phone line for your World Series 2019 World Series champion, Washington Nationals." And I'm like, how long is that going to be?
How sad is that?
I mean, I don't know exactly where that line is, but
we passed it.
We're getting close, if not already over. How long, like if you call the Mets ticket office, would they be like, "Welcome to the phone line of your 1986 world champion, New York Mets"?
I could see maybe allowing, I mean, truly, and I feel like this is pushing it, but the max I could imagine would be three full years
yeah,
after the season in question. Like, if you're referring to a whole other year for 2020, 2021, and 2022, we are finished. You need a new thing.
And this isn't even just... like, this isn't even just, like, you know, more than 3 full years ago. This is, like, pre-COVID stuff, and time is fake now. And so, like, you're referring to stuff that, like, that happened before a whole global pandemic. Like, I refuse to accept this.
Well, I feel like
I've been through
too.
Multiple existences since then. Like, exactly.
Yeah. But I still think you're being too generous. As soon as a new World Series champion is crowned, yours is done.
Like, you can't.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like that would be my impulse. But like, okay, I'm generous.
I think the only way, I think
and
they
say
were
2020
allowed.
Was fake, and I'll say, yeah. We'll ignore the 2020 season.
Yeah, they were allowed to keep it until the 2021 World Series champion was crowned.
Yes.
That seems fair.
But no, they still have it. They still have it now. I can confirm.
Okay, but maybe it's like when I went on maternity leave, I put up an away message so that you couldn't leave me a voicemail. It was just like, "I'm on extended leave, blah, blah, blah." And I left it up since then. And my son is 9 and I have had another baby since then. And at no point since then have you been able to leave me a voice message.
That's I'm just going to leave a permanent out of office. Like, if and when the Mets ever win the goddamn World Series, I'm just going to have a permanent out of office message that says the Mets won the 2024 World Series. You will not be hearing from me. And it's going to stay up in perpetuity after.
Due to the 2019 Nationals, please direct all inquiries via email.
Oh my god,
they're such a pathetic organization. It's sad.
It's really bad, man. I don't I try so hard not to clown on them too much because I feel like as a DC resident I should be a little nicer to them now.
No,
I just can't do it. It's so easy to make fun of them.
I feel bad
they
because
bring it on themselves.
They have some
Phil
of my
Bickford
favorite
got the
fans
win tonight, everybody.
Phil
some of my favorite NL East fans out there are Nationals fans, so I'm always a little I'm predisposed to like the Nationals a little bit.
But they
bit.
Bring that on themselves, man.
But then, like, this stuff happens, and
this stuff happens. So
it's bad out there.
Like. Yeah, so Phil Bickford got the win tonight. And
I did see Otto got the save, I think.
And this is a bit that I'm stealing from I'm unashamed to steal from Kate Feldman. But shout out to Kate, because she said recently, "I think Phil Bickford pitches every day." And I think she's right. Phil Bickford has pitched every day since he's been on the Mets. I swear to God, every day. It's like, oh, it's Phil Bickford again. I feel that way about Phil Bickford and Trevor Gott specifically.
Yes.
They pitch every day.
Well, because Gott makes it feel like he pitches every day. It's like, oh, well, there we go.
Those two men are constantly on the mound and you cannot prove it to me otherwise.
Wait, did McNeil have the home run off David Robertson? Because that would have been like another Circle of Life Mets moment
I
if
don't
he did.
Know. Did he? I mean, it's possible.
It is possible.
It was like
I was
the eighth
paying
inning
attention.
Or the ninth
it was.
Inning.
It was late. Yeah, it was like the eight or eight, the seventh or eighth inning.
Let's find out.
It doesn't look like Robertson got the loss.
Okay, yeah.
So which, yeah, he...
So
he
then
Tanner Scott
not.
Got the loss, so it must be Tanner. It must have been Tanner Scott.
Okay.
That Robertson tracks. Allowed two hits and struck out two scoreless.
Oh.
There you go.
I still feel like he's a sleeper agent that wants to come home.
I think he's coming home.
Like, he's purposely being bad. Like, well, nobody else will want me. Guess I gotta go home.
my dad and I were talking before the game tonight, or like texting, and my dad was like,
"Tell your parents I said hi. They're so lovely.
They're wonderful people."
And my dad was like, "How is this Marlins team so like have such a better record than the Mets?" And I was like, "Bro, I have no idea. If they make the playoffs,
they're
then
frauds.
Everything is fake. I refuse." This Marlins team cannot make the playoffs. I refuse to take them seriously.
But I can't
even
take
if
the
they beat the Mets
seriously.
Even if they kick the Mets' ass in the next two games, I don't care. Like
I don't
refuse.
Care.
Yeah, no, that's
the whole.
This is like
the whole National League is frauds outside of the Dodgers and Braves. I feel like everybody
basically.
Else is bad.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's fake.
It is fake.
It's very.
The Phillies have like
more...
a gazillion game lead in the first wild card.
Yeah,
the
yes,
literal
it's very
Phillies.
Dumb.
The Philadelphia Phillies.
The one that the Mets beat up on.
It's all the more reason why it's infuriating that the Mets have been so bad, because these teams are felony frauds, and all the Mets had to do was be better than these teams, and they couldn't do it. Losers. Mm-hmm. Anyway, speaking of losers, the Dodgers aren't losers, but Julio Urias is.
Big time
loser. And we are learning more about his arrest. We talked about 2 weeks ago, we talked about how he was arrested for a domestic violence incident, and that is his second domestic violence incident. But we're learning more about the details of the incident, and we are learning that it occurred outside the stadium after an MLS game that he went to go see Lionel Messi like everybody else. And it was reported by a witness to police, and the incident was captured on video, and that video is in the possession of law enforcement. So this dude is screwed because it happened in public.
And caught on video.
And that's apparently what it takes in the world ever be taken seriously, is
sadly,
literally to be caught on video.
Sadly. Was it Ray Rice, the football player?
Yes.
The one that had the really awful video happen, and that's the only reason he actually got in trouble for anything?
That's the one.
Yeah, because I went to high school with his wife.
I went to high school with him.
Small world.
I better look up and make sure I didn't go to high school with his brother.
I had a lot of other stuff going on.
Well, she was a year behind me.
I was not overly concerned with the football people.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I had any classes with her because she was a year behind me. But I remember, because I went to a small Catholic school. We all knew each other.
Oh. No, I went to a gigantic, monstrously large high school with like 3,000 people in it. Anyway.
I guess mine was somewhere in between years. I would call my high school an average size, I suppose. I think there were like 1,200 students in total. When it's captured on video, it kind of becomes undeniable at that point. And so I think this man is very done, which is... I hope he's done.
Good.
Yeah, I'm done with him.
Yeah. Baseball should be done with him. His teammates should be done with him.
Rip Bozo. Goodbye. Goodbye now.
Yep.
So yeah, that's not great for him. It's disgusting. And
it sucks for everybody. It sucks for the family.
My first thought when I saw this news was he's done. And then my second thought immediately after the first thought was, if this is how he acts in public, imagine how he acts in private.
That's the scary part.
So I know that this woman has probably endured worse violence than this, because whatever you're willing to do in public is nothing compared to what you're willing to do in private with these guys. It's the same thing as when we talked about, you know, the Tom Brenneman and the likes of those guys who slip up on hot mics because, you know, if this is what they're willing to say, like, around, sure, they don't know that their mic is on and they're not willing to say it when they know the mic is on, but if they're still willing to say it around other people, then imagine what they say behind closed doors, like in private. So you know that a dude who's just gonna like drop an N-word on a hot mic has said it many times before.
Yeah.
Many
no
times.
One gets caught the first time they do something like
this. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, but Julio Urias did.
Yeah, no, he already.
Well, I mean that first time might not have actually been.
Well,
the
I do feel like, time, yeah. I mean, I hope this puts the end of conversation where it's like, don't people deserve second chances? And it's like, well,
he got a second chance.
He got it.
Like, I think, yeah, we talk often on this podcast about folks who insist that, you know, second chances and what happened to innocent until proven guilty and all this stuff like that. It's like, well, you know, when it comes to abusers, it's been shown time and time again that if they act violently once, they will do it again. And this is, you know, this is every time you let them off the hook and let them stay around their partner, let them continue doing the job that they get adored for, that they get put on a pedestal for, like, that just feeds into the behavior and condones it and gives them the message that it's okay. And they almost certainly will do it again unless there are consequences for their actions. So hopefully there are substantive consequences this time. Last time he got a slap on the wrist, he got 20-game suspension because he was never actually charged with anything, if I recall. So that's part of why his suspension was pretty light last time. And they didn't have, like, this level of evidence against him.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. But I have a feeling Julio Urias is done in baseball. So, goodbye. I don't want to waste any further breath on you. We're going to kind of shift gears and talk about, you know, moving from talking about second chances to talking about the way fans treat athletes who have not done something so heinous as to abuse their loved ones, who have done nothing except, you know, maybe not perform well on the field. We talk a lot about mental health on this podcast and how athletes are being more open about their mental health and about, you know, taking the time that they need because it's a very tough job that they do and they're in the public eye and it's not easy. And so there were a couple of sort of incidents recently that sort of underscore this common topic on the podcast. One of them was San Francisco Giants pitcher Ryan Walker and his wife were recently threatened on social media after a loss, which is just like,
it's a game, people.
Don't do that shit. Like, grow up. Just
but see, this is also where I feel like sports betting is also going to just invite more to this, which is also very scary.
Right, no, because everybody has behaved like this before they were potentially putting, like,
money online.
Very important money to them, like more money than they could afford to lose on these players. It is, I would not be happy about this if I was a baseball player.
Nope.
Not at all. And then, you know, kind of in the same vein, a fan ran on the field and hugged Ronald Acuna during a Braves game recently. Like, obviously fans running on the field and being dipshits is a tale as old as time. That happens all the time. And then they get banned from the stadium and it's like, what did you accomplish? Congratulations. They don't even show them on TV anymore.
No,
like
yeah.
It used to be that, like, they got that they were doing it because it was a guaranteed way to get on TV. But now obviously the networks are doing the smart thing. And the second that they realize that there's a fan on the field, they don't show the person.
Yeah, but now with cell phones, everything are going to go viral on Twitter. So
sure. So it's like you got your 15 seconds of fame. Yeah. Congratulations. You can never go to a baseball game again. Hope it's worth it. But this is a whole new level. Like, if you run on the field, you're just like kind of a dope and a dipshit. If you touch a player, then you're just like an asshole, like the worst kind of human being.
Wasn't they like arrested?
Yeah, they were. Because they should be.
Yes.
Like, what the heck? Like, these are like baseball players are human beings. They are not like gods or idols or like, you know, these untouchable, or like just these larger than life figures. They are real human people. And I think that fans could do well to remember to treat them as such every so often.
Well, this kind of also goes back to, I don't know, everything being so available now that maybe lines get blurred now, where it's like, I know everything about you. You're my friend, right? And
the weird parasocial relationships.
So I don't know. I mean, I know nothing about these guys. I don't know why they did it. I don't care why they did it. I just know that they need to, you know, be arrested for it. But it does
probably seek professional help.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. It just feels like everybody's too informal with everybody now. Or like, because I cheer for you, you're like, I don't want to say like we're kind of the same because I cheer for you. Or like you said, it's this weird dynamic now that, you know,
I just can't imagine thinking I'm like entitled to access.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Like
that someone has a social obligation towards me.
Yes.
Just because I have an opinion about them.
Like, I remember, I mean, I told this story on the podcast, but like when I was at the airport with a bunch of Washington players, like it took Michael like the whole time we were sitting there at the gate before our flight to convince me to even say hi to them. Like, I was like, I do not want to bother them. I do not want to take up a second of their time. Like, they don't owe me anything. They don't owe me their time. They don't owe me saying hi or a nice smile or anything like that. They don't owe me shit. Just because I like watching them play soccer, they don't owe me that. But I finally did buck up the courage and just like say hi for 2 seconds and just said like, hi, I'm a huge fan. And then like ran away. But there, people just have the audacity to like accost these people in public when they're coming out. Like, was it Brooks Raley who was coming out of a Starbucks and like two random dudes on Mets Twitter like stuck a cell phone camera in his face and like tried to like have a conversation with him? And I'm like,
I didn't know that.
This was like in spring training in like Port St. Lucie. It was like really early in the season. I think it was Brooks Raley. I can't remember. It was one of the Mets relievers. I think it was Brooks Raley. But they just like, were two random Mets Twitter dipshits who like stuck a camera in his face and like tried to have like a conversation with him and asked him like, you know, what would be a pretty benign question if they weren't recording him.
Yeah.
I guess like they asked him like what his favorite something was. I can't remember. Or asked him what his Starbucks order is or something. And he snubbed them and like walked away and didn't talk to them. And then they acted all mad about it and posted about it online. It's like, Brooks really didn't talk to us. And it's like, yeah, that's because you annoyed him.
You weren't
leave
polite.
The man alone? Like, what?
Like, the dude just wants his Starbucks. Leave him alone. Like, if it was at the field where he expects fan interaction, that would be a different story.
Yeah, and you ask him to sign a baseball. Yeah. Like, that's a different thing. He's just at a Starbucks.
Yeah, he's a dude trying to live his life.
Yeah, like, leave him
You can't, like, greet a player out and about, you know, in that kind of situation. But you gotta read the moment. And, like, if they're not into it for whatever reason, like, we all have those days. You leave them alone. Like, that's... let people be people.
Exactly. And if you meet a baseball player, or you meet your favorite player like out on the street and you want to say hi to them and like ask nicely for a selfie, like, fine, but don't be really, really indignant and upset if they don't give you that, because they don't owe you that. Like, you can ask. They have every right to say no. If they're not feeling it, they have every right to say no.
Because they deal with this literally all day, every day.
I can't imagine just being recognized on the street all the time.
I can't either.
Be exhausting.
I know. Like, what do you do? I just want to go get a cup of coffee and sweatpants, and you can't even do that.
Like, obviously, the even more extreme example of this is like Taylor Swift, who's probably one of the biggest celebrities on the planet right now. She can't even like go to the Jersey Shore without creating a spectacle. If you are like showing up on a random street in like in LBI or wherever she was. Was she in Stone Harbor? She might
have
been.
No, it was LBI. Yeah.
Was it LBI?
Yeah.
If you're showing up on a random street in LBI just so you can observe Taylor Swift for 2 seconds, I think you need help. I'm sorry. Leave her alone.
Well, and also they had like a dedicated like Taylor camera at the VMAs. God. Like she's never Stop left it. Alone.
Like, I cannot imagine just like never getting a moment to myself, which she probably never has one. Even when she's like home at her house, she probably never has a moment to herself.
No, there's probably always somebody calling, texting, needing something from her.
Must be.
There's just no downtime. Yeah.
Being famous is the worst.
Oh, it just looks awful.
I will take it on now, just as a like something to do for the planet to make the world a better place, is I will take on somebody's fame for them. I will absorb it and
Let's
their
make
resources.
Maggie famous.
I'm willing to throw myself on that grenade.
On that sword.
But yeah, just asking folks to not dehumanize these people. They are human beings just trying to do their jobs. Like, please. So the last bit of sort of wider baseball news the news that just broke today, actually, right before we recorded this podcast earlier today, the Tampa Bay Rays, so speaking of literally the Rays, are getting a new stadium, and it turns out is on the same site as Tropicana Field. They are not moving somewhere else. They are not moving cities, and they are not moving the stadium to Tampa.
We're playing half and half in Montreal, which was floated.
Doing any of that. They're staying in St. Pete, and they are getting a new stadium. So I guess congrats to them.
Maybe.
for bullying themselves into getting public funding, I suppose, for a new stadium, I guess. And, you know, I think I try not to unfairly judge the Trop or any other stadium until I've been there. So I cannot comment on the Trop. I've never been to the Trop. But, you know, it has its haters. I'll say that. So
I just like that balls can hit the roof.
It's hilarious.
That's hilarious to me.
It is hilarious.
So, oh, wait, yeah, we haven't mentioned Ohtani.
Oh, we have not. That's
the Ohtani drama.
That's true. Speaking of organizations that, you know,
need to be contracted
constantly and need to be contracted. So Washington Nationals definitely on that list. But I think the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are officially at the top of the list.
They have. Yeah, after this year, definitely.
They're definitely getting whatever the opposite of the Organization of the Year award is.
Yeah.
It's definitely congratulations to the
Clown
Los Angeles
of the Year.
Angels.
Yeah. The Clown
Absolute
Shoes Award.
Stinking clown embarrassment.
The Clown Shoes Award goes to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim for Shohei Ohtani clearing out his locker and going MIA and then being like, we'll tell you later.
Like, oh,
and
wait,
that not even being the weirdest injury-related interaction with players over the course of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With more of the, like, Anthony Rendon situation.
Anthony Rendon has been such a saga in and of itself that no one's talking about, really.
Because
everyone's talking
cares.
About Ohtani.
Yeah.
But it's been wild.
But how did he get so, like, he used to torment the Mets. How did he get so big? Wasn't he an MVP or an MVP candidate?
Yes, he was. I mean, his body's just broken now.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, baseball just breaks your body. Professional athletics break your body. His body's just broken. Remember when he, like, grabbed a fan? Remember that happened?
Oh,
that was
yes!
This season. That was this season.
Was it spring
Jesus.
Training or was it
yes.
this season?
It was spring training, I think, but it was this season, you know? Oh, it wasn't, God. Like, 2 years ago. That happened this season, too.
Oh, what is going on in Anaheim?
So Shohei Ohtani cleared out his locker. They told the press, like...
But wait, it goes back earlier than that, when they had a body double for the team photo.
Oh, yes, they did do that, too. That's right. They had
a hilarious body double.
That doesn't look anything like him.
Just some stooge.
And obviously,
like, you
they're
can't convince me that the Angels aren't secretly some kind of workplace comedy like Abbott Elementary or Parks and Rec. Like, it's got to be the Angels.
Whatever
everything
the
about
baseball
that
version of that is.
That was the body double episode where Someone had to find a body double, and that's who they found. And that's the whole episode.
The Angels are just like a giant psyop. They're like a government experiment that we're all guinea pigs in. Like, let's see how long we can like have a fake baseball team that people think is real.
But then why do they get the two best players on the planet? That's not fair.
It is kind of like what you would do if you were like faking a baseball team. You'd put like two real players. And then it would just be
or
like
you
a bunch
like
of
one
guys.
Real player, and then you're like, I think we're gonna need to get another one. And then you get another one, but the first one starts working badly. And now the second one is going to start working badly.
Yeah, so it turns out Ohtani has an oblique injury. He's out for the year, is what happened.
Yeah, like all the reporters were just like, Ohtani's locker is cleared out. We don't know why. And then nobody said anything that night.
Angels were like, we know why. We'll tell you later, wink, wink. Like, what?
And then there was speculation he had already went back to Japan, but then they saw him in the dugout later. So it just became this 24-hour mess again that the Angels bought on themselves.
The man is extremely not coming back.
Literally Shohei Ohtani on your baseball team. That man on your baseball team. And that is how you treat him.
Well, and then they started leaking that they're open to trading Mike Trout.
Yep. Oof. At Mets, go get Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout.
Mike Trout is going to say.
They have openings at both those positions.
They do,
so,
but yeah, let's so go. Like, why are you going to start slandering Trout now? He didn't do anything to you.
Mike Trout has never done anything to anybody.
No,
literally committed to staying in your trash fire organization.
Yeah, but yeah, like they reported, if he's open to a trade, we'll trade him.
Okay.
So was that just going to be a we tried to get rid of Mike Trout and couldn't scenario?
I don't know.
That's
a whole new genre of we tried.
Yeah, that's not going to go anywhere good. I can see that coming already.
Man, if the Angels were a real baseball team, I'd feel so bad for their fans.
Yeah. Michael and I were in the dog park with Blue the other day, and there was another owner there with his dog, and he was a Red Sox fan, and he was like, yeah, I don't feel good right now about anything, because this was after Heim Bloom was fired. And I said, at least you're not the Angels. And he was like, yeah, so true. Like, that was the only comfort I could give the man. I was like, at least you're not the Los Angeles Angels.
And he was immediately comforted, too.
Yeah, he was. He felt a lot better after that.
I mean, look, I know we love the Mets and we want them to win a lot of games, but think about how much of a blow it was to other teams when Steve Cohen bought the Mets, because now it's so much harder. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, we're pretty pathetic right now. You can always kind of get away
with
it.
There's always a lot of Mets.
But like, you know, last year you couldn't be like, at least we're not the Mets. And I think there's a good chance that next year you won't be able to be like, oh, at least we're not the Mets.
Yeah.
And like, that's just really, it really threw the balance of the league off.
Yeah, the homeostasis is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So somebody had to replace them, and that, I guess the Angels were like, I will take that mantle.
The Angels have always been like this.
So the Mets were just like hiding with their Metsiness, and now the curtain's been pulled back.
Yeah.
Well, Shohei, according, was it Martino who said Cohen would have the highest bid if Shohei would consider the East Coast?
Yes.
So,
sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me, too.
Let's go.
We have a lot of cool stuff here, Shohei.
It's cool here.
We welcomed you. We saw it in person. We were very nice to you, Shohei.
We have cool things here, including Kodai Senga, who should win the NL Cy Young Award.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He should get some votes.
I'm just saying. I know it's going to be Blake Snell, which is quite underwhelming.
He's a fraud. If you can't go more than 5 innings, you're not an ace. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, the thing is also, if you want to like dissect the seasons, the closest person to Blake Snell is Kodai Senga.
Yep.
Literally, yes. They have
except that Senga doesn't walk quite as many people.
They're having statistically almost identical seasons, except Senga's walk rate is lower. And
his ghost fork is the most unhittable pitch in the league.
Literally. And it's fine if you do want to say, like, oh, for whatever reason, I don't think Kodai Senga is a Cy Young Award winner.
I think it's because of the innings pitched.
That is the only limit on him at this point, is the fact that he doesn't have as many innings pitched. Because
he only goes 6 days.
But if you don't give Kodai Senga the Cy Young Award and turn around and give it to Blake Snell, come on, man. Then I'll be mad.
Like, I was gonna
if you're
going
to give it to Blake Snell, then you should give it to Kodai Senga instead.
Yes.
Exactly.
If you can't make it 3 times through the batting order without falling apart, you're not an ace. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're a five and dive player at that point. Agreed. You going to tell me a five and dive player deserves the Cy Young Award?
Yeah, they're going to give the Cy Young to a five and dive guy. I'm going to be sick. Whatever. Sorry that Kodai Senga needs a little extra day of rest.
He was coming over. That's what he's used to. He needed to get used to it.
And he's done admirably. And, yes. I mean, worth pointing out that this is only happening because the Mets are out of it. And if they were in a stretch run, I'm sure that Kodai Senga would have been like, let me pitch every 5th day. It's fine. Yeah.
Well, and also they were arguing, or, you know, trying to come up with arguments. I don't know. I can't remember if it was Garen Keith or Garen Ron. It might have been Garen Ronnie. They were saying some people frown upon Japanese players because they were already professional players. But then they said, but they gave Ichiro the award.
Yes. I was going to say, I mean, rookie of the year. Yeah, I guess you could make that argument about, but the Cy Young.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You should just get it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, it is funny that, like, there's probably a better argument for him winning the Cy Young than there is for him winning the Rookie of the Year.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree that
there is. Yeah.
I think it's like almost certainly true.
I kind of hope they lean into that. Like, I really hope that he has a really strong rest of the season and the rest of the field waivers. And then I hope that, like, Corbin, whatever the name is, just
Corbin
kills
Carroll.
It for the next.
Corbin
yeah,
Carroll,
that he just continues to destroy the world. And I really hope that happens, that he gets the Cy Young and not the Rookie of the Year.
He only has 2 more starts left.
No.
It's not enough.
I know.
No, it's not enough.
I miss him. He's been my dude.
No, I know. And he just seems like he's so nice and sweet.
I don't know if we can project the rotation out to dollars for Dinger's Day, but I have no idea. I don't think it's one of Senga's projected.
I only accept Senga or the Chur. Those are the only 2 acceptable answers right now.
I would like to see Jose Quintana. That'd be cool.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That would be fine.
Yeah. He seems good. All right. So, and Quintana. All right. So,
we've got a few options.
Right.
Beggars can't be choosers, folks.
Since we're not getting D-backs.
I know. But we will end the show this week like we always do with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about something that is making us happy this week, baseball-related or otherwise. Maggie Wiggin, what is your walk-off win for this week?
This was actually my walk-off win for 2 weeks ago, but I've had a very busy couple of weeks and have not been on the show since. But so it's a very outdated one, but it was very walk-off Winnie in more ways than one. And so I just wanted to keep it, which is that me and the kids went to the DJ Stewart game a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
That they won in extras on the DJ Stewart hit by pitch after
Incredible.
The 2 DJ Stewart home runs and the DJ Stewart catch at the wall. So I'm getting everybody to dig deep into your memories and pretend that wasn't 2 weeks ago, but it was a lovely day. My son was on the big screen, but me and my daughter missed it because we were getting food. And it was just like, we had a really good time. And it was with a family friend who I love and don't get to see all that often. And like, it was a great game. And the kids, I was like, all right, well, we stayed through 9. Let's head home. And the kids really pushed for 1 more inning. And they did, in fact, win it. So,
yeah.
A+. That was a great That was a great game. And it was a walk-off win. It was
literally a walk-off win.
We stand DJ Stewart.
Yes, absolutely. Linda Cerevich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
I know, like, back in, I think, March, I said I had a hotel for Paris, but I didn't because they ended up canceling the next day. Because funny how all these hotels all of a sudden have computer glitches, so that way they can cancel your room and then charge you an exorbitant price the next day. So that happened. This happened multiple times so far when trying to get a room for the Olympics next year. But I think I finally found one that went through and hasn't canceled. It's been over 24 hours, and usually it's within 24 hours that they cancel. So it's a former monastery. It's like three blocks from the Seine. It's in what I've told is you want to be in the Latin Quarter, which I've told is where you want to be, where like all the good like restaurants are, all the fun shops. It's a 10-minute walk from the Louvre. So it seems like hopefully they don't cancel on me, but they haven't so far. And it's just, it just looks so cute. And all that was left was one of their bigger rooms. So I'm not going to complain because all the hotels there are really tiny. But it just, now I can like really focus and get excited. Like I'm really going to Paris next year. It's really happening. I have a place to stay. And I can eat wine and cheese. They have a little breakfast bar. And with all the cheeses and the croissants and the jams and, oh, I'm going to eat so much food.
I'm excited for you. That's so great.
I'm really looking forward to hearing more about this.
Yes. I'm really looking to living vicariously through you.
I'll make sure I'll post a lot of pictures if it's not torturous for everybody.
No, please. I want to see
this. I mean, don't get me wrong. It will be torturous. But
it will hurt.
The alternative would be worse.
Yes. Yeah, agree. So it will hurt so good.
I just want cheese and champagne, and I'm guaranteed to at least have cheese and champagne. I don't know what else I'm gonna have, but that's definitely on there. So now it's good. It's less than a year away, so I'm very, very super excited that it's finally. It feels like it's finally happening.
That's awesome! Yay!
Hey, Allison. Jeez. What's your walk-off win?
Yeah, do tell, Allison.
Allison, what's your walk-off win?
I don't know.
It's funny because last week I said, I don't think anything will ever top this walk-off win that I have, which was that Blue got on SMY, which I thought was the ultimate walk-off win. Couldn't ever top that. It turns out one can. And the way that one can top that is if one gets engaged, which is what happened on Saturday night. Michael and I are engaged.
Yay!
Congratulations!
Thank you. So that is my walk-off win for now and forever, probably.
Well, until the wedding.
Until the wedding.
You'll have so many great walk-off win opportunities from now and then. We found the most amazing cake. We found the most amazing dress.
Yes.
I don't know, I'm not even thinking about planning yet, but when I'm in that stage, I don't think there's going to be any walk-off wins with wedding planning. It doesn't sound fun. I don't know.
Cake is always
cake's a good
cake,
one.
Cake is good. I like cake. So yeah, that's my walk-off win. It's
but
it's
I also
very
feel like this is good since you had such a bad year last year that yes. You're getting all the good stuff.
I was telling my coworker that today, because you know I went to work in person today, and so you know the ring was observed by people, and so people were excited, and I was talking to people about it, and I was like yeah, and people were like, first Blue on TV and now this, and I was like, yeah, it's been a good month for us, and I was like, I feel like we were owed that after the year that we had last year, which was 2020. I feel like I go in the opposite direction of the Mets, I guess, because 2022, the Mets had a really great year and I had a really horrible year. And in 2023, the Mets are horrible, but life is going pretty good for me personally. although, of course, you know, the hills and valleys of life. I got engaged on Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon, we spent the entire afternoon at the emergency vet because Blue peed blood, and we had to go to the emergency vet. She has a UTI. She's fine. She's on antibiotics, and she's totally acting like her crazy normal self. But yeah, obviously, like, the peeing blood was kind of alarming, and Michael was very excited to go see the Jets at the bar, and instead we were at the emergency vet. But luckily, he didn't miss much with regard to the Jets. So yeah. That's a whole different story. So yeah, that's my walk-off win. We're very excited. This, you know, this relationship, this marriage is going to be one that was born from the Mets and from Amazing Avenue and from, you know, Mets internet. Like, it's truly, you know, kind of the best story you can come up with. We met on Amazing Avenue in the comments section. We both became writers, and then we started dating. And now
they read the comments, you guys.
We read the comments, and now we're gonna get married.
Any
I also
of us
slid
can
into
read
his
the comments.
DMs too, so that's
it's a 21st century love story.
It really is. It really is. And like, it's, I mean, I like, I've said this before, and it's really corny, but it's true. It's like, I can't, even when the Mets suck, even when they're awful, even when they're causing me pain, I can't ever get too mad at them or, you know, stay away, because like, they're the whole reason that I have this wonderful partner, and they're the whole reason that I have all these awesome people in my life that I get to call my friends. And like, you know, that there's just no replacement for that. There's no, like, you know, can't put a price on that. Even if it costs my blood, sweat, and tears, you just can't, it's worth it. And so no matter how bad the Mets are, they got me a husband. So I can't really complain.
It's a good trade-off, I think.
It's a good trade-off.
No crying in podcasting, you guys.
No crying in podcasting.
No crying.
No crying.
No crying. It's good. It's happy. It's great. Everything's
all
great.
Happy. Yeah. And these are happy tears if we were.
These are happy
tears. Yes.
So that does it for the show this week. You can go to homerunapplesauce.com to check out all of our fantastic podcasts. You can support our work by going to patreon.com/homerunapplesauce. Yeah, guys, I'm going to have my wallet's going to take a hit pretty soon, you know, with this planning thing. So Patreon, support our work.
Please.
Very important. Please help me.
Subscribers will get to pick the linens.
Yeah. Patrons will get to pick something about the wedding. Well, to be determined at a future time. You can follow Home Run Applesauce on Twitter and Instagram at HR Applesauce. You can follow this show on Twitter and Instagram and Blue Sky and TikTok at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow each of us on Twitter and Blue Sky. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Saravage.
And you, Maggie?
At Maggie162.
You can email the show by emailing aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. We love to hear from you guys. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. Just search Home Run Applesauce and you should be able to find all of our pods right there. Please rate and review the show. It really helps people find it. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets. And don't forget, there's no crying in podcasting. No crying. Nobody.